still in the theme, a time to recognize Jesus. A time to recognize Jesus. And the title of this morning's message is A Time to Recognize Jesus Through Applied Wisdom. Through applied wisdom. I believe the problem of the church is not that it not have wisdom, but I believe the true root problem of the church of today is that the wisdom of God is not being applied. It's a word that's just being heard at best. When the Lord has called us to be doers of His word. A time to recognize Jesus through applied wisdom. As we go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 13, I want to open up with this verse. Once again, we're going to go into the thoughts of Solomon. King Solomon in the latter days of his life, on how he would go back over all the years that he lived with all the wisdom he had. And he would reflect on what was important and what was not important. This book has really been ministering to me and where I am in my walk with the Lord. Looking back now, 23 years of being in a frontline ministry, 18 of those years preaching the gospel here in Victor Outreach, Milwaukee. And as a senior pastor, the messenger of the church here this day, I too need to reflect on things on my walk with the Lord that could have been done better, things that were good things that I took too long in, or things that were good that I didn't spend enough time in for them to bear fruit. And here we hear the wisdom of Solomon looking back in his life, not just for his life, but for each and every one of our lives. And I believe if Solomon could walk in this morning and speak, he would say, don't do what I did. Don't waste all your time on things that are meaningless. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 13. And the Bible reads, here is another bit of wisdom that has impressed me as I have watched the way our world works. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord. I pray, as we watch the way this world works this day, that we not see it from a worldly perspective, but that we watch, that we hear, that we do, how the world works based on what you say, Lord, about this world that you have created. And I pray right now that you get all of our attention that are present here in your temple, that you get everybody's attention, Lord, that is viewing right now through Facebook, that they would be able to see the way that you would want this world to work. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. I'm going to read a story, just a short story, a few verses found from verse 13 through verse 16. You got to listen closely. Amen? And the Bible reads, here is another bit of wisdom that has impressed me. Solomon had all the wisdom in the world. And what he was sharing and what I'm about to share, Solomon was able to experience a lot of great things in his lifetime. But what he shares here in these few verses was another bit of his wisdom that had impressed him. He was real impressed on viewing this story that it was written down. It impressed him. As we read, here is another bit of wisdom that has impressed me as I have watched the way our world works. There was a small town, let's listen to the little story, amen. There was a small town with only a few people. Reading out of the NLT translation. There was a small town with only a few people. And the great king came with his army and besieged it. A poor wise man, amen, that was within this small town. The Bible records a poor wise man knew how to save this small town that had just a few people. That was up against this great king that had an army that had besieged this small town. The Bible reads that a poor wise man knew how to save the town. And so it was rescued. But afterwards, no one thought to thank him. So even the wisdom is better than strength. Those who are wise will be despised if they are poor. What they say will not be appreciated for long. As we go back to verse 14, the story starts off to say there was a small town with a few people. And a great king had came with his army and had besieged it. Amen? But within this small town, a few people, there was a poor wise man. There was a poor wise man. I placed within my notes, have you ever felt small from maybe a small town or even from a big city you might have grew up in? But have you ever felt small with a few people on your side, in your corner, feeling like there's an army straight from Satan attacking your life? You might find yourself with only one or two people to count on. You might find yourself here this day with nobody to count on. And you feel all alone. And the attack of the enemy is great upon your life. Again, the title of the message is a time to recognize Jesus through applied wisdom. See, there's an answer, there's a counter to the attack of the enemy upon your life, your marriage, your children, the church, the lost and bound, the city of Milwaukee, the region of the Great Lakes region, amen? The international work of Victory Outreach. There's an answer to everything that's taking place right now in this world that we live in. And it's not only having the wisdom of God, because many have that. Many know the right thing to do. Many know the right scripture to quote under certain situations that might be taking place in somebody else's life. But can you still say the right things, apply the right scriptures, when what's taking place is taking place in your very own life? In verse 15, the Bible records that there was not just the wise man, but a poor wise man in this small city that had few people. And he knew, the Bible says, how to save the town. We know for sure that he wasn't going to bribe the king, the enemy, with money, because the Bible says he was a poor wise man. Money was not the counter that this man used in allowing this small town to be rescued by his wisdom. You see, money can only do so much. You can be poor, have the wisdom of God, and be a man of God, a woman of God, that God can use to rescue this city of Milwaukee. You can be the only man, the only woman saved in your household without money, but with God's wisdom to rescue your family. Joshua said it best, for me, my house, we will serve the Lord. There's something about when a man or a woman that may not be very financially strong, but have the wisdom of God that is applied not only in the good times. How many can apply the wisdom of God in the good times and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah? But can you apply the wisdom of God in the hard times when wisdom of God is really needed? When it's really needed. I put here, when you have the wisdom that comes from God, the odds against your life really don't matter, comma, though it hurts. When you're applying God's wisdom to a hard time within your life or in somebody else's life, the odds of this satanic army that is attacking you really don't matter. And we find this through this short story that impressed Solomon, that he wrote it down. And he saw it through eyes and through wisdom and said, wow, here's this small town with few people, Here's this poor man, but with wisdom. And here's this great king that comes with an army to besiege this small town. And something takes place within this poor man's life that rescued the city. The Bible does not record what he said to this great king that convinced them to the point that this small town was rescued. I believe within my life that it was not so much what this poor man with wisdom told this great king and his army, but I believe it was what this poor man did. It's what he did that I believe not only impressed Solomon, but impressed this great king. To the point to allowing this poor man from a small town of few people to be rescued, not just by what he said, but what he did. In verse 16, in the beginning, the Bible says, so even though wisdom is better than strength, here the wisdom of this poor man from a small town with few people was more powerful than this great king and all his army. What this one poor man said and did was more powerful than what the king had to offer on this particular day. I believe, like never before, God's wisdom is needed to be applied not only in the good times, but in the hard times when we're under pressure. Because we got the wisdom. We know right from wrong. It's applying the wisdom of God in times of pressure within our lives. God's speaking here this morning. You need to ask yourself here this day, I want you to evaluate or grade your godly wisdom. What would you grade your godly wisdom, not on doing the right things, saying the right things in the good times, but how would you grade your godly wisdom when it comes to applying it in times of pressure within your life? The enemy will let you gain all the wisdom of God you want. Satan himself had it. And he's okay with you using God's word of truth that sets the captive free. He's okay you quoting scripture in season scripture. But one thing he don't like, it's when the man of God or the woman of God applies godly wisdom even when there's going to be a repercussion from it. The enemy don't like a man in the church or a woman in the church that grows in godly wisdom to the place where they're able to apply it in times of most importance. We really got to understand here this day that it's important not only to know God's word, but to be able to apply God's word in the hard times. Even if it means losing a few worldly friends. Even if it means losing a few church friends. Because at the end, you and I are going to be accountable unto the Lord. We got to be careful in these end time, darkened times that we're living in and who we are trying to please. I put here wisdom applied in hard times wins God's favor. Wisdom applied in hard times wins God's favor. And I believe there's not a man or a woman or a youth person present here this day or present through Facebook listening here this morning that does not need God's favor upon your life right now. You might be doing great right now, but a storm's right around the corner. So here this poor man from this small town not only said, it don't say what he even said or what he did, but I know it had great wisdom behind it because there was no money involved. And even though it rescued that small town, the few people living within this small town, the Bible reads in verse 15, a poor wise man knew how to save the town. How many know how to save somebody and lead somebody unto the Lord? Amen? I gave training classes on that years and years ago. What to do in street rallies and how to approach a gang member, a drug addict, a prostitute. And we know how to save the lost and the bound with the prayer of salvation, the sinner's prayer of salvation. The Bible records a poor wise man knew how to save the town. My question is, do you know how to save somebody's life? Yes, that sinner prayer is foundation. It's needed for the person of the Holy Spirit to enter one's life. But that person you lead to the Lord needs for your life to be able to demonstrate, not just speak godly wisdom, but to be able to demonstrate godly wisdom. Not only in the good times, but to be able to demonstrate godly wisdom in the hard times. When it hurts, when whichever way you go with it, people are going to come against you. So this poor wise man knew how to save the town, and so it was rescued. He got it saved. But afterward, the Bible reads this last part, the last sentence. But afterward, no one thought to thank him. And I'm not talking about the great king or the army thanking him. I'm talking about the few people in the small town could not even say thank you. Good looking out. If it wasn't for your wisdom, your life, we would all be dead right now, or somebody else's slave. But afterward, no one thought to thank him. I put here in my notes that there's times that you won't be thanked or recognized for your godly wisdom. For those that are taking notes, take this note down. It's been given with 23 years of walking with the Lord. It didn't come easy. So the least you can do is write it down. There's times that you won't be thanked or recognized for your godly wisdom, and even not just being a good speaker, but doing what's right. I put here in my notes, in those times, how many has ever done something really nice to somebody, hooked them up? They didn't deserve it. You hooked them up. And then forget about you like you never were even there. They can't even come back and say thank you. In those times, it's important to know there's one that does recognize your godly wisdom. And he is the one that gave you the godly wisdom. That don't need a few. That don't need people to agree with him. And his name is Jesus. But a lot of times our feelings get hurt for using godly wisdom, doing the right things, because we're not recognized. We're not thanked. We're not loved in response. My pastor would say, welcome to ministry. I'm talking about the church right now, not the lost and bound. And so quickly, the Bible says, but afterward, after a little time goes by, we forget who God used, using godly wisdom to rescue your life, to continue to model and apply godly wisdom before you, for that you would not only be saved and remain in the pure milk of the gospel, but that you would grow in godly wisdom in the meat and potatoes of the Word of God. So don't be surprised. It doesn't just happen to the pastor. It happens to everybody. It's just sometimes we help somebody and we're looking for that payback. We're looking for them to come back and give us a high five or something. And then afterward, a little time goes by, they'll even start talking about you. And forget what you said, what you did to rescue their lives. That is the end time world that we currently are living in right now. So if that is taking place in your life, don't be surprised. The Bible says, well, it has already happened under the sun. Solomon was impressed about this story. He was impressed Not so much what the poor man did using applied godly wisdom, but he was impressed how no one from this small town, the few, even said thank you. It impressed him. So when you help somebody, true faith is not expecting nothing back in return. So if you give it like that and it don't come back, you'll be okay. But if they say they're going to pay you back and they don't pay you back, we got Houston, we have a problem. Start saying things like, you better have my money, it's what you do. Scripture don't say what he said to the army, but I believe it was what he did that rescued this small town. There's power in the tongue of life and death. Yes, there's power in our words. But if there's power in our words, how much more power do you think there is in applying godly's wisdom? If there's power in what we speak, how much more power do you think there is? And when we apply, when we speak godly's wisdom, can you imagine? And I believe the walking of the godly wisdom is the place where people are transformed, not just rescued, not just saved, but transformed. You got to ask yourself here this day, look in the mirror, and you got to ask yourself, how have my actions been lately? Do they match my godly wisdom of words that I use? Is what I do matching what I say? It is important here this day. Easier said than done, I always tell people. I'll even say, sounds good. Sounds like a great plan. That's even a godly plan. But it's going to take some godly feet. Because any and every godly plan upon anyone's life is going to come with pressure. It's going to squeeze out the old man, the old woman. And people tell me, God spoke to me, and he did. And I'll say, man, that's from God. That's heavy. That's real heavy. It's a little bit heavier to carry that cross right there. To not just be a spokesman of the Lord, but be one that can pick up your cross, deny self, and follow Christ. Too many trying to follow Christ in these end times in the church that we're living in right now without a cross, because they don't want the pain. They don't want the suffering. They don't want the sacrifice. So they're trying to follow Jesus without a cross. And you can follow Jesus without a cross all you want, but you're never going to die to self. You will always be a well and alive. Sacrifice, commitment, sufferings are very needed within our lives. It's God's way of humbling a man, a woman, of dying to the old. The cross has a way of bringing obedience to the Lord or disobedience. We all here this day need to make our lives count. We cannot continue to come to church, quote scripture, and not apply nothing we say. It's not going to get you around the corner. It's not going to get your family around the corner. A word for you today is you need a cross to follow Jesus. You need a cross to obtain godly wisdom. You need a cross to die to self. You need to carry your cross. Godly wisdom will always not just call for the right words, but also for the right actions. For the right actions. I believe in these end times that we're living in, many are not recognizing Jesus based on what His Word says. You're recognizing Jesus through religion, tradition. Your mom smoked, your grandpa smoked, and they were born again Christians, so you're going to smoke being in church. The problem with the church today is that we're recognizing Jesus the way we want to recognize Jesus. And that's through a fallen state of sin within our lives. We fail to recognize Jesus based on what His Word says about His life, based on what His Word says about your life, my life, the marriage life, the family life, the call of God life upon your life. And I believe in these end times that we're living in, many are not recognizing Jesus based on His Word and based in His action that took place at the cross of Calvary. You're far from His Word, and you're far from the cross. And all you have is the memorization of Scripture, of godly wisdom, but you don't have application godly wisdom within your life. I'm okay to get a few enemies here through this message this day, because I know my life is accountable unto the Lord and what I say from behind this pulpit. And I'm not going to be held accountable by what I did not say when the person of the Holy Spirit was leading me to preach the truth, the gospel of not only having godly wisdom, but an application of godly women wisdom based on His Word. Not your 5, 10, 20 years of being in church. And this is where there's a problem within the church. A lot of preaching going on this day. A lot of Greek and Hebrew being preached this day. A lot of prophecy being given this day. A lot of end time messages being given this day. The book of Revelation being spoken on. Because everybody wants to be recognized for the godly wisdom they have. When you should be worried about being recognized by the application of the godly wisdom you have. Verse 15. I believe, it says, a poor wise man knew how to save the town, and so it was rescued. These are just my thoughts, amen. I believe the poor wise man this morning is Jesus, not us. It's Jesus. See, you thought I was thinking about preaching about you and I, how we got to be able to use godly wisdom and application of godly wisdom. But I believe in my spirit here this day and the times that we're living in right now, that this poor man that knew how to save the town and did so is Jesus. The Bible goes, but afterward, no one thought to thank him. A lot of times we get saved and afterward, things start taking place and all of a sudden, we forget in who we were giving praise and who we were worshiping at one time when things were good. Is he not worthy of your praise and worship when things are going bad? In the times we're living in, we need a God that is faithful in the hard times. See, the God of the good times is in the world. He wants to give you some dope, some liquor, the opposite sex. He wants you to have a good time. He wants you to have fun being a Christian. He wants you to have the joy of the Lord while you're getting high, while you're doing things that godly wisdom and God's word says you shouldn't be doing. And the reason we do these things that we shouldn't be doing is because we're far from the cross. We have the godly wisdom, but we're not applying it within our lives. So there's not a conviction to not do what we know already as being wrong. And nobody might know, but there's one that does. He don't just know a few things. The Bible says he knows all things. He knows all things. The Bible says, but afterward, no one thought to thank him. To confirm this, poor wise man, I go to 2 Corinthians 8:9, getting ready to close. The Bible says, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. So that by his poverty, he could make you rich. I believe a rich man, a rich woman, is one that not only has the wisdom of God, but I believe what a rich man is and a rich woman is one that applies godly wisdom in their life, in someone else's life. Hebrews chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 8:9, he did it. He said he did it for your sake, for my sake. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible reads, since he himself has gone through suffering, talking about Jesus now, and testing, he's able to help us, you and I, here this morning, on Facebook. He's able to help us when we are being tested. How many know that Jesus passed the test in obedience to the Father? He knew his purpose. But at the end, his purpose had to be fulfilled in obedience. And that was an obedience unto the cross. For your sake, for my sake. It was an obedience unto the cross. And the willfully surrendering of his life through obedience unto the Father. He not only had the godly wisdom of the Father, but he applied it when it mattered most. And that was at the cross, for your life and for my life. The sufferings and the testings that you and I go through are crucial, they're important. Because Jesus would have never been able just to speak the right words. But he demonstrated, the Bible says, his love for us this much by placing his life on the cross. He applied the word of God through some very, very hard obedience. And not for being a sinner, being full God, but yet full man. The Bible says they endured the cross for your life and for my life. The Bible says when he did it while we were still ungodly sinners. That he died for us, not because we were doing so good, but at our worst. He stuck to the plan of God. He stuck to the wisdom of God. And even though he contemplated and he asked the Lord three times, can we do this some other way? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there's times that you're going to be put in a very hard place. That you ain't going to want to do it. Maybe because the person you're doing it for don't deserve it. Or has done this sinful behaviors over and over before. They're just not getting it. They're just not catching it. They continue to do what is wrong. They continue to speak God's word, but continue to do, when it comes time to applying it, the will of the enemy. We got to be able to pass the test. And remember, the test has always come from God. Scripture says that God would not tempt you, but that the enemy's the tempter. But there's times when you're in a godly test that the enemy slithers in. We got to be able to become those men and women of God that have godly wisdom, knowing right from wrong, God's way, right from wrong. But then growing up and getting to a place where we're able to apply it, even when it's not for ourselves and it's for somebody else, simply by what the Lord has already done for us. Did the Lord pass the test? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. We wouldn't be sitting here if he didn't. So as we pass the tests that are given by God, we then are able to help the next person coming up in the church that's under a godly test and say, hey, and we can have the answer on how to save them, like the poor wise man had to save this small town. And we can have the godly wisdom and not just being able to give them the right words and the tests they're in, but that we can show them how we pass that test and not just tell them how that test is to be passed. But that we can say, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We have what it takes, church, to save the lost and the bound. Based on what Jesus says and based on what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. If it was not so, you and I would not be here right now. Your salvation is something so great that only the obedience, the applied obedience of Jesus was able to do. He was the ultimate sacrifice for your life and my life. Mom couldn't do it. Dad couldn't do it. Your brand new baby can't do it. A high-paying job couldn't do it. Addiction can't do it. There's only one. And the name still remains. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We need to pass the test to help others pass the test. Do you know that that sounds good? But the flip side of that is we failed the test, they failed the test. Because nobody got the answer in the application of it. Got the book answer. But now, can this body apply the book answer? See, the Word of God's revelation, the Word was God and God was the Word. It goes together with your life and my life. He says, abide in me and I'll abide in you. You can't separate God's Word from your life. Too many knowing God's Word, but still living the old life. You see, when the Word of God that is able to set the captive free is slowly but surely applied, amen, then the power comes for a man or any woman of any background to not only be saved, but to become transformed. This message is not for somebody, it's for everybody, including the pastor preaching the message right now. Because as soon as I get from behind this pulpit, I'm going to be tempted and tested. You say you love your children. Pass the test. It's a godly test that you have the answers to all within this book. Study it. Approve yourself. Study it. Study it. Study it. And then start taking baby steps to apply what you have studied and learned. You can't separate. I cannot separate my life from God's Word. I can't separate it. I'm one in Christ. In my marriage with my beautiful wife, I cannot separate it. Because the Bible says what the Lord has joined, the two cannot be separated by no man, by any circumstance. Has it been tried 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 times? We're in a frontline ministry. And we smile and laugh and say, Jesus loves you. But there's times that we're going through it. We're going through it. Because we know what's right and we know what's wrong. And we know we need to apply it. But there's times that people are going through it. They know what's right. They know what's wrong. And it's easier to them to go do what's wrong. When it's backwards, it's easier, though it's hard, to do what is right, to apply God's Word for your life, for your marriage, for your children, for the call of God upon your life. And that's why we need to grow in the application of God's Word, not just simply the revelation of His Word. Guys in the church right now that can quote 10 times more scriptures than I can. But can you walk it? Man, if there's ever a time, we are the light of the world, the Bible says. If there's ever a time, the light needs to be going the right way. And this darkened time we're living, if there's ever a time, the word of the Lord is a lamp unto our feet. If there's ever a time that this lamp can't stay right here and then I walk away and go do whatever I want to go do. No, what has to take place as I preach and the revelation of the light of the gospel is coming into your life and it's giving you insight right now. As I walk from here, this don't stay here. It goes with me. It goes with me. The word of the Lord goes with me, so wherever I go, there's light. There's not just here light on a Sunday afternoon for an hour. Or if I'm a little long-winded for an hour and 20 minutes, and I feel one coming on right now. But too many are going to leave the church this morning, sadly to say. And the light's going to stay in the church. And you're going to get back into your car, continue to fight, continue to yell, continue to cuss, continue to listen to worldly music, and wondering why God's word that was preached this morning ain't bearing fruit in your life. It must be the pastor's fault. If you can't change the channel on your radio, take the radio out of your vehicle. Maybe. If it's a temptation greater than you are, take it out. I'll take your radio. I'll put it on the right station. Some of you say, you know what, Pastor? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my radio out. I'm going to give it to you. Give it to me. I'll take it. We got a furniture sale, garage sale taking place every day here. I'll give it to Connie. Connie, put it up. Sell that radio. Sell that worldly radio that they didn't know how to go to 105.3. You want your breakthrough, but all you're staying with is the word without an application to it. Altar call here this day. You got to pass the test, church, in order to teach your children how to pass the test. They got to see you go through it and still do the right things. They got to see it. Because if they don't, they go, well, you do it, Daddy. You do it, Mommy. And then you're going to want to spank them and correct them as they get older. That is not godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is lead the way not by your words, but by your actions. Here this day, we're going to make an altar call every Sunday now. We've ordered these big stickers. They're going to come and be placed, real nice ones. Amen. They'll be here by next Sunday. They'll be here. But right now, as the ushers make their way, amen, we have little stickers. Now, if you're with your family, amen, this is what I want you to do. Amen. I'm going to take my time because we're going to be doing altar calls every service now. We're going to let no virus stop us responding to God's word here this day. But I'm not just using radical faith. I'm using godly wisdom. The social distancing is going to take place still. So we have little yellow stickers here at the altar that go all around the blue, in front of all those red chairs, in front of all those red chairs, and all the way down the wall on the bottom where the ACs are at, you'll see little stickers, little yellow stickers for now. Next week, we're going to have big ones that have two footprints in there and social distancing and, amen, to make it real black and white. If you have a child, this is what I want you to do. I don't want groups here to come because then it's gonna kill what we're trying to do in the social distancing. Amen? If you have a child, I want you to get where the dot is. Like there's a dot right here, a yellow one. Put your child right before you here on the step. Amen? Let your child, if it's your child, let your child line up with you. I don't want your child beside you. I want your child before you. If it's your wife, I want her before you. Amen? Because we have little stickers on these front row of chairs also and all around the church. More than enough for everybody to respond, not just hear the word of God here this day and say, man, that was a good message. It's got to go deeper. It's got to go further than that. There needs to be an application to godly wisdom that has gone forth here this day, that I know that it's not of me, but of the Lord. How many are ready to be obedient unto the godly wisdom that has been spoken here this day? So if an usher kindly tells you to go move here, just say amen. Just say, this is my yellow dot. Let's not go there, amen? Let's stay in one accord, but we're going to make an altar call. And this is the altar call. This is the altar call. I have in my notes, I got the second point, but the first one ain't coming to me. I got it. Two things that we're making this altar call with here this day. We're going to make the altar call, and the first thing I want you to do before we get to the second step is I want you to thank Jesus. I want you to thank Jesus for your salvation. I want you to train yourself to thank Jesus even in the heat of the battle. Don't come just saying all your problems. Slow down, and I want you to come, and I first want you to say, thank you, Jesus. Things ain't great, Jesus, but thank you. I shouldn't be here either right now. They could be worse. So as you make the altar call, I want you to thank Jesus first. Get a heart of gratitude. Even if you're going through something here this day, thank Jesus. And then when you get here, is the doing part. Making the altar call is the doing part. After you have finished thanking Jesus, I want you to ask him, what is it that you want me to do? Because for some of you, he's got to repeat himself over again. Because he gave you the word, but you didn't apply it, and you're still at the same place. He can only take you as far as you apply his word in obedience. Disobedience could take you a long way. Could take you a long way going the wrong way. Obedience could take you a long way here this day going the right way. And that's why I want everybody here this day to go forward. And I just want it to be you and God at the altar, like we used to do it, where people would get broken and God would deal with them, and they would feel the presence of God upon their lives, knowing they didn't deserve it, but yet God was still embracing you and saying, I still love you, I still love you. You're still my daughter, you're still my son, and I still want to use you. I still want to use you. But it's kind of hard to be used by God being ungrateful. It's hard to be used by God being ungrateful. So here this day as we stand, and if an usher gives you a little, if you're here with your wife and a husband and two children, husband, pick a dot with one child. Mother, pick a dot with the other child. Let's use wisdom at the dots. I want God to honor, amen, what we are doing here this day. We need the favor of God upon our lives, upon this city. And through this morning's word, we found that one poor man of wisdom was able to save that town. Amen? Let's apply God's word here this day as you make your way to the altars using social distancing.